Chapter 21, Before Herod.
Although Herod had never met Jesus, he had long desired to see him. He hoped that Jesus would display his marvelous power. As the soldiers brought the Savior before him, the rabble surged and pressed about, shouting all kinds of things. Herod commanded silence, for he wished to question the prisoner. He looked with curiosity and pity upon the pale face of Christ. The ruler of Galilee saw there the marks of deep wisdom and purity. Herod concluded, as Pilate already had, that malice and envy alone had caused the religious leaders to accuse the Savior. Now Herod urged Christ to perform one of his wonderful miracles before him. He promised to release him if he would do so. At his orders, crippled and deformed persons were brought in. Then Herod commanded Jesus to heal them. But the Savior stood before Herod as if he neither saw nor heard anything. The Son of God had taken upon himself humanity's nature. He must do as a human being must do in similar circumstances. Therefore, he would not work a miracle to gratify curiosity or to save himself from the kind of pain and humiliation that we must endure when placed in a similar position. It terrified Jesus' accusers when Herod demanded a miracle. Above everything else, they dreaded most that he might exhibit his divine power. A miracle would destroy their plans and would perhaps cost them their lives. So they shouted that Jesus worked miracles through the power given him by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Several years earlier, Herod had listened to the teaching of John the Baptist. What John had said had deeply impressed the ruler, but he would not give up his life of sin. So his heart grew harder. At last, while drunk, he had commanded that John should be slain to please the wicked Herodias. Now he had become still more hardened. He could not bear the silence of Jesus. His face grew dark with anger, and he angrily threatened Jesus. But the Savior remained unmoved and silent. Christ had come into the world to heal the brokenhearted. He could have said anything that would have helped someone. He would not have kept silent, but he had no words for those who trampled the truth under their unholy feet. The Savior might have spoken to Herod words that would have grabbed the attention of the hardened king. He might have stricken him with fear and trembling by laying before him the full iniquity of his life and the horror of his approaching doom. But Christ's silence was the severest rebuke that he could have given. That ear that had always been open to the cry of human woe now had no place for the command of Herod. That heart, ever touched by the plea of even the worst sinners, was closed to the haughty king who felt no need of a savior. Angry, Herod turned to the crowd and denounced Jesus as an impostor. But the Savior's accusers knew that he was no impostor. They had seen too many of his mighty works not to believe. Then the king began to shamefully abuse and ridicule the Son of God. Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Luke 23:11. As the wicked king saw Jesus accepting all this indignity in silence, he felt a sudden fear that this was no ordinary person in front of him. The thought that this prisoner might be a heavenly being come down to earth frightened him. Herod did not dare to approve the charge against Jesus. Wishing to escape the terrible responsibility, he sent the Savior back to the Roman governor.